removing that cloud of uncertainty from the economy. Second of all, the agreement ensures that there is an initial round of spending cuts that protect vital investments that will ensure that the economy can continue to grow, protect vital things like Pell Grants that are a high priority for the president, and significantly ensure that there is a firewall in the discretionary spending cuts between defense and non-defense spending, which again is a kind of protection we haven't seen in a long time that is essential to making this a fair and balanced deal.
After that, the first phase of cuts would reduce spending by $900 billion over 10 years and won't take effect until 2014. A bicameral and bipartisan congressional committee would decide a second phase of cuts, totaling $1.5 trillion. Carney said everything will be on the table for cuts in that committee.
Everything, including both entitlement reform and tax reform. And let's be clear, the president thinks, as you know, that the biggest possible overall accomplishment in terms of deficit reduction is a desirable goal, as long as it's balanced. And he looks forward to, through the process set up by that committee, to having that debate about what our priorities are. If we need to, as legislated through this deal, find another $1.2 to $1.5 trillion in deficit cuts, how are we going to do that? Are we going to do it by asking sacrifice only of middle-class Americans or seniors, parents of children who are disabled, or are we going to ask that others, including oil and gas companies, corporate jet manufacturers, or the wealthiest Americans share in the sacrifice? I think that is, again, a debate he's looking forward to.
If the committee fails to reach an agreement at that point, there will be automatic spending cuts of $1.2 trillion. Social Security, Medicaid, and food stamps would be exempt from the automatic cuts. Democratic member of Congress Peter DeFazio agreed to the deal, but criticized his fellow Democrats for caving too much to Republican demands.
There's no balance. There are no revenues. God forbid we would ask, as the Republicans call them, the job creators, the millionaires and billionaires, to pay anything toward further supporting our country.
Florida's Democratic Senator Bill Nelson said he's voting for the debt deal.
I will vote for the compromise budget plan. It avoids a default of this nation's financial integrity. It'll cut $3 trillion over the next 10 years. And you will see this pass with an overwhelming bipartisan majority in the Senate.
But Florida's freshman Republican Senator Marco Rubio said he won't vote for the deal. Last night, the Florida Consumer Action Network and 35 protesters held a candlelight vigil outside his Tampa office. Timothy Heberlein helped organize the event.
I think it's really unfortunate. I know that Senator Rubio is a signatory of the pledge to Grover Norquist to promise never to increase taxes under any circumstances. And I think that's terribly disingenuous to Floridians and just the process of governance when you commit yourself to an ideology which supersedes your allegiance to the Constitution and your constituents.
Like both Democrats and Republicans, he said there were both gains and losses in the debt deal.
Definitely the defense cuts was something that we had, you know, requested in the past, our organization. But I think, you know, ultimately when it comes down to it, who's ultimately going to be hurting after this debt deal is made are going to be seniors or minorities. And there are no concessions to making issue talking about revenues at all. So I think this, while it averted the crisis, hopefully, you know, once they get the thing passed, that we will raise the debt ceiling. But I think ultimately what happens is the American people, the 98% who don't make you know, extreme amount of money, you know, they are the ones ultimately going to be paying for this. So I think we had a minor victory in that, but it ultimately, you know, we lost a lot in this battle.